This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Denise Dirks, Cal Hunter, and Todd Cunin. Cal is our producer. We appreciate you being here. Remember, call us at 855-LAW-RADIO, tweet us at Radio Law Talk, or if you want to email us, a lot of times our show is replayed multiple times, email us at info@radiolawtalk.com. We like to have a lot of fun. We believe that we have an exciting and entertaining and sometimes informative show. But remember, don't follow up with any legal issues and try to use that in a court of law. We're talking about general topics. You know, seek local counsel, and we're not giving legal advice on this show. So we have to cover all those little tiny fun, you know, explanations and disclaimers to protect us, right, Denise? And that's what we do. This hour, we're going to have another case or no case, and why that's important is 50 points. That is the most important goal to meet. And Todd is at 46 points, and at 50 points, he would be the winner. But you can only get 2 points on a case or no case. So it's important we're going to do that. That's where Cal Hunter, our producer, gives us a case. We try to determine whether or not it's a real case, and if so, what the outcome is. We're also going to talk a little bit about Trump's Twitter, the coronavirus lawsuits that may or may not, that are coming, that I have been involved in a little bit concerning businesses and business losses, whether or not they're able to claim these losses due to coronavirus on their insurance policies. And I'll briefly touch on that. And then we're going to do quick takes, which everybody loves is our quick takes, because that's fun. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Denise, you always know the phone number. It's 855-LAW-RADIO or
855-529-7234.
Yeah, and without further ado, by the third hour, we are ready to hit case or no case. Right on.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yeah. And it's a good thing because this is kind of an involved one here. All Cindy Flynn wanted was to spend time with her grandson, but the baby's mother did not like that, Alice Henkel. The focus of their battle was Alice's young son, Elias, born May 2003. Alice was not married to Elias's father, Cindy's son, Corey, who was serving time in the Illinois State Prison for the second time, drugs. Alice and her newborn moved into her mother's home. Before her grandson's birth, Cindy had sent items for the baby, tried to contact her. Alice never responded. When Cindy heard about Elias's birth, she sent her a card. A month went by before Cindy got a call from Alice's mom, inviting her over to see the baby. After that, Cindy and her husband, Mike, began visiting little baby Elias once a week. Alice was not happy. She claimed that Cindy came in, was intimidating, ignored her wishes. It bothered Alice, for instance, that Cindy once referred to herself as Nana. Alice requested she be called Grandma Cindy because the other grandma was already being called Nana. And in June, Cindy and Mike joined the Henkel family at the Catholic baptism, but the situation deteriorated quickly in the summer when Corey got out of prison. When they got back, finally, she said, "You just can't come and see the baby anymore." And so Cindy Flynn decided, okay, that's enough of that. I'm going to go to court. And I'm going to ask you, Denise, because this is right up your alley. You notice I tried to pick one for each one of you today. And since you're a family law lawyer, I thought I would ask you first, Denise Dirks, case or no case, what say you?
Hey, Denise, are you allowed, if he asks you that, to defer to Todd so he can go first and we can do the opposite of him?
No, because
I think the arbiter of that is,
yeah,
Cal.
Oh.
Cal?
I don't think so.
Can I ask a clarifying question? At the very end, you said that the mother said, you can't come see the baby. Who was that directed to?
That was directed toward to Grandma Cindy.
Okay, all right.
Grandma Cindy,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's the only question.
Okay, and we don't know which state it is, so because I'm not...
I'm pretty sure I said it was Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, and I just don't know Michigan law. I know California law and know how it would be addressed in California. The question in California is grandparents' petition. You would bring out a grandparents' petition for visitation, not custody, but for visitation of your grandchild. And in this particular case, what you have is you do have a bond between the grandmother and the grandchild because they have been seeing this child every month. And so there is that precedent. And the father comes out of prison, right? That seemed to be the reason why mother won't let Cindy see the grandchild anymore, right? So if the two parents are on the same page that Cindy cannot see the grandchild, then the two parents are going to be presumed to know what's best for their child.
Who's two parents?
Meaning the Corey, the one that was imprisoned, and the mother of Elias.
Even if they're not married, it doesn't matter.
If the two parents agree, then and they both have a right to custody, then you're talking about their decisions going to more than likely stand unless Cindy can overcome a presumption. So I'm going to say that this is, and Cindy Flynn is the last name. What was the mother's name?
Alice
is the grandma.
No, Cindy Flynn.
Cindy's the grandma. Alice is the mommy. Yeah.
Wait, didn't you say her last name was in Wonderland?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So this is definitely a very real scenario. It happens all the time, and there's not enough information for me to know the outcome if it was a case, so I'm going to say no case.
Okay. Fred Penny, what do you think? Is this a case or no case?
I'm going to say it's a case, and this is interesting because I think the smart thing for Cindy and husband Mike to do, that's grandma and grandpa, is say, Corey, we'll finance you to go to take her to court, which probably Corey has no money, but Cindy and husband Mike and grandpa Mike probably have money to have Corey go get custody, and then Corey can bring the child over and hang out and say Corey lives with mom and dad or live next door. Then they can see him. That's a way around it. I would see.
That's a very good idea.
Idea of doing it. So I think it's a case, and I think Cindy and husband Mike win because I'm just going to say that so I can get my points, but on a side note, I'm going to say they do it through Corey, and he goes and gets custody, and grandma and grandpa are able to see the little baby.
Way too innovative a solution. Mr.
Yes.
Kunin, what say you, case or no case?
I'm going to say that this is a case, and I'm going to say that the mom, Alice, in Wonderland.
Wonderland.
Yes. I'm going to say that she wins because she's able to show that despite the fact that there have been previous visitations, the visitations were contentious. The grandmother continued to do things contrary to the mother's wishes, calling her Nana, doing other things, and that when the son got out of custody, it's interesting that the son wasn't bringing the suit for custody and that there may have been something precluding the son from seeing the child. And by having the grandmother have custody, that increased the likelihood that something was going on there. So I'm just going to say, is a case and mom wins. Grandma does not get to see the baby.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, these things
Corey
can get...
Corey wins, I say.
Yeah, you think the guy who was in prison. These things can
wins.
Get
he
so
gets,
complicated
yeah,
sometimes. And the nuances of these are the thing that amazes me is, you know, the judge will lean, okay, well, is the child benefited by this? Is there an attachment? And the beneficial thing apparently is a key component in this particular state's law. So it's really fascinating to me all the stuff that judges have to try to figure out going through all of
you
this.
Got it.
So Denise is happy that there is a case because the answer is yes, it is a case.
And Denise is wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yes, no case.
Yes,
Denise said no case.
I expected you to go, it's all right, which would have been really interesting had this actually happened.
Yeah, but I do not have the time to give you the explanation. So
you're
going to
give us the explanation on the way back, on the backside.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we're going to hear the finalized version of Cindy Lou Who.
Alice and Cindy.
Cindy Lou Who. What's Cindy's name in Cindy Lou You Who?
Cindy Lou Who is from The Grinch.
The Grinch.
Yeah.
From Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah.
We're going to find out what's going on with Cindy Lou Who. back. We're going to talk about Trump Twitter and coronavirus lawsuits. We'll be back.
All right. More Radio Law Talk is coming up, including an explanation, at least, of the conclusion of Case or No Case. That's right after this. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com. The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
I'm going.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com. Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now, I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. Oh, stop it.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Cal, that was a very interesting case or no case you did. So
thank you.
Why don't you just give us a very brief overview of what happened again and what the answer is.
Well, there's a debate over grandma visiting a baby when the baby daddy's in jail, and then the baby dad comes out, and when the baby daddy comes out, he says, I don't want her visiting anymore. First off, she's a Christian. Ever since she started serving the Lord, she's goofy. I mean, that was one of the things he argued, a lot of those things. But before we go too deep into this, I want to remind you, and Denise would tell you this, that grandparent visitation laws vary significantly from state to state. And under this one, I said Michigan, it was Illinois, and I apologize, it was Illinois. Under Illinois, a grandparent who wants to see her grandchild must show that the parent's actions and decisions to deny visits are harmful to the child's mental, physical, or emotional health. So the circuit court held that Cindy's voluntary visits with Elias didn't create a problem and that Alice tried to develop a natural relationship. It was only after Corey filed his petition for visitation rights with family court that Alice stopped Cindy from visiting her grandson. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and it went through multiple layers, Cindy now visits little Elias 3 hours at a time, unsupervised, and Alice may, as of yet, appeal to the Supreme Court of Illinois. But that is it's a complicated thing.
3 hours for once a month,
right? Once a month, right?
Which is consistent with what she was getting. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Wow. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is...
I think Fred, you nailed it.
I did.
So Fred Penny gets 2 points on this deal.
Yep. And Cal, and you get one, Todd.
Todd gets one.
And Denise gets one.
No, I get none. I said no case.
You're right, I'm sorry.
So the points are now, you got 45, right, Todd? Oh,
47.
Ooh,
and you've got 45.
Todd, I'm on you.
Starting to close. Yeah.
And I'm clear down here at 40.
Oh, I could catch you next week.
What's that cross-country movie about the team down in the valley, you know, with Kevin Costner, where he plays the coach? McFarlane. So like McFarlane, Fred's the chubby runner catching up.
Help me catch. Next week, let's make Todd go first every time.
You know what he is? He's the 15-year mortgage runner.
That's right. Going faster. That's right.
Okay. I'm doing that. All right. Well, don't forget, during this last hour, we're going to do our quick takes, and I've got a good one, so you make sure you hang on till the end of the hour. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. Remember, you can email us at info@RadioLawTalk during the week. We'll respond the best we can. We have to. There's a couple of elephants in the room. The Trump tweets and the social media crackdown supposedly that he's going to try to do on social media. This is the first time, at least that I know of, where you've got Twitter and Facebook kind of disagreeing. And Zuckerman, don't forget, Facebook and Zuckerman, the owner, he's been through, it's not Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, the owner, is absolutely been through the ringer. He really has on a number of things. And I think he's just saying, Twitter, shut up. Don't open this can of worms for us. And now there's becoming a battle. Now,
Twitter may be saying, good, this may give us a competitive advantage if we can push their face in the mud.
I think Twitter's been going down. I think, you got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that stuff. I think that Twitter is, again, I don't know all the numbers, but they're getting some publicity. So what happens is, generally speaking, these social media TikToks and Twitter, they can govern what is put on their private platform to some degree, and what they do is they can fact check, and they generally anything that's offensive, and in fact there's a rule that, because they have free speech, but there's some rules that govern these social medias, but they govern themselves generally, isn't that correct? So but the issue's been that there's been argument by conservative groups and lawsuits saying they're unfairly targeting the conservatives, erasing or using their, quote, discretion to not allow them to put what they want on, yet the more liberal people are able to put whatever they want on without being censored. And that's the general argument.
Exactly. And this comes from, what is it, 47 U.S.C.
Yep,
230.
That's what I'm looking at.
47
right.
U.S.C. 230 was enacted, I believe, amended to apply to this back in 2018. Essentially, before it was changed, early court decisions had held that if an online provider like a Facebook, a Twitter, or something like that, if they censored or restricted certain content from coming out, then they would be deemed a publisher of all content that came out, and as such, as a publisher of content, would face liability. So in 2018, Section 230 247 U.S.C. 230 was amended so that any online service provider who censored content that they felt to be inappropriate for whatever reason, that they felt was inappropriate or lewd or misinforming, they would not be deemed a publisher and have to face civil liability as a publisher of that content. So what the executive order from the president says is that the provisions of 230 were not intended to provide the type of censorship that Twitter is and other service providers are engaging in, and has stated to protect the freedom of speech rights of individuals, and how that's the bedrock of our country, has instituted the executive order that forbids the censorship of this type of content. And, you know, we're coming up on a break. Look, I believe in free speech. I really do. But I think that this executive order is going to face some challenges.
It is.
Based upon the way it's worded.
Because it's not only just to change that, but it's to change the liability of those companies for that type of censorship.
By the way, that's what I was looking for. You bailed me out. The 1996 Communication Decency Act is what it's called. And basically, like you said, it protects these Twitter, Instagram, Facebook from being sued civilly. And that's we got freedom of speech. We'll be back, talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
So is Twitter responsible, or the person who posts on Twitter responsible? That seems to be the question, and we'll talk about it more next, right here on Radio Law Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-814-5108. 800-814-5108. 800-814-5108. That's 800-814-5108.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Due to issues over China's lack of transparency, President Donald Trump said he's terminating the U.S. relationship with the World Health Organization officially, making good on his threat to withdraw from the U.N. health agency he's blamed for mishandling the coronavirus pandemic.
China has total control over the World Health Organization, despite only paying $40 million per year, compared to what the United States has been paying, $450 million a year. Because they have failed to make the requested and greatly needed reforms, we will be today terminating our relationship with the World Health Organization and redirecting those funds to other worldwide and deserving urgent global public health needs.
The president last month temporarily froze U.S. funding to the WHO, contending the organization botched the international response to the pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Is this real life? Oh, come on.
This is Radio Law Talk. And now, back to the show.
So we're back talking about the tweets, the Trump tweets, and what's constitutional, unconstitutional, his executive order. We've teased as to what he's going to do. He definitely is going to, or he did, have an executive order due to the fact that Twitter did to some degree censor him. What they did is they basically put, you know, they fact-checked his something that he said about mail-in ballots. And by the way, I've looked at both sides, and you can argue, there is an argument that it's true. And I've heard everyone say, oh, it's false. And I'm not jumping on Trump's side, but that is the most incorrect thing when people say what he said is false. No, it's not 100% false. It's the way you read it, because there are issues with ballots going out to people that are dead, that are going, there's stacks of ballots that they're finding different areas. It's just, it's how you interpret it. We can argue all day, and I don't want to sit here and argue which interpretation is correct. The question is, can Twitter censor him in a way by saying, this, we've fact-checked, and this is not correct? And or can Trump then have an executive order kind of going against this, I always forget the name of the law, the 1996 Communication Decency Act, which protects the social media Twitter's platforms mm-hmm. from being sued. That's what our issue is.
And that's for the content that other people put into that platform.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's right. And again, that issue there was they don't become a publisher by censoring the content under that law that Fred just quoted, which is interesting because when you look at one of the tweets from the White House that was censored, it said, quote, "The president did not glorify violence. He clearly condemned it." At Jack, they referenced the person who's responsible for Twitter's fact bait. Made it clear Twitter is a publisher, not a platform. So the tweet is aimed at trying to say this law doesn't apply to them because they are acting as a publisher, not a platform, despite the protections that Fred has here. But the issue that I have with the president's executive
order... And that's related
order,
to the officer getting charged in the murder, correct?
Yes,
that's not related
That was related to censoring... the president's tweets on looting and what was going on. So the problem that I have with the executive order, and I'm also going to say that Twitter and Facebook, maybe be careful what you ask for, is this. The Constitution of the United States protects freedom of speech. And the protection of freedom of speech is a protection against the government encroaching on your freedom of speech rights. It is not a protection from a private entity doing anything related to your freedom of speech rights. It is a protection keeping the government from quelling your speech. And so when you have an executive order that starts out under the guise of protecting free speech, and the way we're going to do this is to clamp down on a private entity, well, that's not what the First Amendment is for. And so I think that it's going to have an issue there. It's also going to have an issue to the extent that the executive order purports to interpret the intent behind 47 U.S.C. 230 about what it really meant and what it really didn't mean. Look, that might be well and good. The president may be absolutely correct in what he says. The problem is that interpretation didn't make it into law. What we have is what is in the code, and if the legislature doesn't like the code, or if the executive branch doesn't like the code that was passed by the legislature and then signed by the executive branch previously, the executive branch can't just come in and change the meaning of it. You got to go through the political process, get the code amended, and have it changed to do what you think it's supposed to do. But the issue that I see here where Facebook and Twitter have to be careful is, for the longest time, Twitter, Facebook, all of these online agencies have been arguing that we should remain unregulated. This is free speech. We don't want the government regulating what we can and can't do. And if they keep this up, they are calling for regulation. At some point in time, because it's interstate commerce and the Congress can regulate that, if this remains, then the government's going to step in and say, because this is so widely used and because it is so broad,
controls,
you cannot censor the way that you are doing it. Or you can censor. It really depends on which political party is in power in Congress passing
the law. Well, not really, because it could be bipartisan, but
happens all the time.
Right now, the left loves what Twitter is doing and the right doesn't. Okay, so I don't think that if the right proposed a bill that would prevent Twitter from doing what they're doing, that you would have any bipartisan engagement from the left say, okay, yeah, we agree with that, because they love what Twitter does. They like it that Twitter is saying you shouldn't do this. In fact, AOC grilled executives from Twitter and Facebook about, will you commit to censor future Facebook political posts that you find incorrect? That's what they want. So,
In any event, I think that the executive order, by becoming a part of a governmental order, is now stifling speech. And I think that is going to be deemed unconstitutional because these platforms are not governmental platforms. They're public platforms or private platforms. And they have their own right to freedom of speech.
Here, ready for this? Now I'm going to throw a wrench in what you guys say. You got to understand this. Two things. Number one, if I was the president, I would go a different route. I would pursue this as a monopoly and try to break them up, because this is really a monopoly. There's two or three social media platforms that monopolize everything that goes out.
Who can start something that will compete credibly with Twitter right now?
No one. Twitter, Instagram, or so what I'm trying to say, President, go in and fight it as a monopoly. So that's the one thing Fred Petty throws out. Here's the second argument. Ready for this? The second argument, that's what I'm saying. I agree. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, be careful. Be careful. And I think that I always say Zuckerberg. I always say it wrong.
No, Zuckerberg is
Zuckerberg.
Correct. That's right.
I always look, he was smart in saying, whoa, let's just be careful on how, because they're allowed to censor, but guess what the censorship says under Section 230? It says, you missed an important part, their censorship or their review is to take action, quote, in good faith. I think the arguments now are going to say you are outside of what's good faith. Go look at what Democrats that they are censoring or have censored. Go look at Pelosi if they've censored her or reviewed what she's done. And again, I'm not jumping on Republican side, but if I'm arguing this, I'm going out and finding all the things that were said by Pelosi or the Democrats that were wrong, and I'm going to ship it over there and say, did you censor this one? No, you didn't.
You're well, that's not just arguing bias.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. No. Under Section 320, 230. It says they have to do this censorship, whatever, in good faith. So their best argument is going to be, I'm just throwing arguments out. You know, I'll argue both sides. Argue this was not done in good faith and show it and prove it.
In the first hour, we talked about the effect of the lockdown and churches not being able to be opened or have more than 25%. And the argument there was churches have to be treated like every other secular institution. And if the other secular institutions are subject to the same restrictions, then churches are not being singled out. And that's the key here. Who is being singled out? And what Fred, if I understand what you're saying that that Twitter would be possibly in violation of the good faith portion of that section if it can be shown that the only censorship or the vast majority of censorship is going towards those of a certain political persuasion, whereas similar inflammatory or tight comments made by those of other political ideologies are not being censored. That would have to be the argument.
Now, right. I would say that in the violence category, it's going to be equally censored because they're very active about censoring everybody under the violence category.
Probably true.
That's true. But one of the things they're pointing
out. But the more political category is what's fake news. And if you were an Oregonian and you look at what Trump tweeted, you would say, that's absolutely false. There has never been fraud, and we only vote by mail.
What? Okay. Right? Never been fraud?
No, okay. Never been fraud in your mail-in ballots.
I don't agree with
there's
that.
There's never been
of.
Fraud.
Yeah, how do you know of?
There's
never been fraud in Oregon's mail-in ballots. They've been doing it for well over 20 years.
Here's a problem with that censorship model.
Well, you haven't been there.
Here's a problem with
I have.
But you don't know that, though. You don't know that.
I do.
How do you know there's
fraud? Because they have, they test it. They actually test it.
You're saying they catch fraud every single time? How do you know that someone sitting at their house, Denise, didn't just sign off for their dead mother and send the ballot in? How do you
How
not
do
know
you
that?
Prove a negative?
That's exactly right. So you can't say this happened. You
Which
say
is why that's
not.
The main argument against them?
No, the argument is it more likely than not? It's not, has it never happened? Because we know in Mississippi or whatever it was, the governor's race was tainted in mail-in ballots. We know that happened. That was fraud. That was discovered, and it was
But that's what we don't want to argue. Remember I said we could argue that back and forth. We've got 30 seconds. We'll be back. We'll keep talking about this.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
All around the world. This is RadioLawTalk.com. Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Oh, I think we nice that nice sweet music that calms us down after. Denise, by the way, we're all really good friends. We get along, but Denise will argue. Everyone thinks, oh, Denise, you're arguing the liberal side and Fred the conservative. Let me tell you, Denise will argue the conservative side and I the liberal anytime. So that's fun about this is we go back and forth and argue both sides. That's why we're great at lawyers. Go ahead.
Well, on the voter fraud issue with regard to mail-in ballots, I just wanted to point this out that in 2012, the New York Times. Now, mind you, this is the New York Times that President Trump hates. You know, they're fighting against each other all the time. But the New York Times in 2012 published an article entitled Error and Fraud at Issue in Absentee Voting Rises. And the article noted that there was, quote, a bipartisan consensus that voting by mail is more easily abused than other forms, and that votes cast by mail are less likely to be counted, more likely to be compromised, and more likely to be contested than those cast in a voting booth. In 2005, a bipartisan commission on federal election reform that was chaired by former President Jimmy Carter and former Secretary of State James Baker concluded that, quote, absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud, and that vote buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail. And so before this became an issue, with the current president saying, hey, you know, this leads to an increase or is an increase, it was a bipartisan issue that everybody looked at and said, yeah, this is really something that is
that could,
that is and could be problematic. Now, the reports that have come out now are that the reason it's problematic and could result in fraud is, for example, in Nevada, there were bags of absentee ballots that had yet to be filled out that were sitting there. Anybody could have picked those up, filled them out, and sent them in. And we don't know if they were sent in. You know, we talk about detection. The only things that are detected are the people that sucked at fraud. The ones that were really good and got away with it, they don't detect those. And I think that it's pie in the sky to think that every instance of voter fraud are detected. I know in every other crime, take DUIs out on the road. The number of DUIs, I worked in a county where we prosecuted 6,000 DUIs a year. And guess what? That probably, according to Mothers Against Drunk Driving, represented maybe 5% of the total number of DUI drivers that were on the road at any given time. We always catch the vast minority of those that are engaging in the activity. To say it's not happening when there's the potential for it to happen, the Bipartisan Commission has said that there's a potential for this to happen, and we found instances where it has happened, to say that it's not occurring in larger numbers, I think, just ignores the statistics. So that's just my opinion.
And I don't think that it's a Democrats game, that it can go either way. So
I agree with that.
So the partisanship is important to note. But what Trump is implying is that he's going to be kicked out of office by voter fraud.
Or
that's what he's doing.
Or he's implying that the process is not to be trusted. And if the process is not to be trusted, nor can the results be. And I don't think any of us can disagree with that overall premise. I admit that he may say that vote by fraud makes it worse for him potentially. But I really think the honest bottom line is, if the process is tainted, how can you trust it? And how can you be sure that it's not tainted? And the answer is, unless you do thumbprints or other forms of actual voter ID, which...
So, yes, you're right. So let's move back to where we were, is the Twitter issue. So I think those are all good arguments for making. Let's move back to the Twitter. Now the question is, we can argue back and forth. Both sides will argue what Trump said. It's right, wrong. The question is, should Twitter use and censor him and put down, this is fact-checked and wrong? This is my slippery slope that Denise and I talked about on, you know, you better go check all the Democrats now and see what they've said on Twitter or Instagram and see if they've made errors. Let me tell you, I don't know, and I don't do that. I don't have time. You don't have time, Denise and Todd. We don't have. I'll guarantee you there's errors they've made, and there's a problem with the Twitters, Instagrams, Facebooks. How do you regulate that? That's impossible. How do you, the billions and billions of tweets and Instagram posts, how do you regulate that? You can't.
I think it's going to be next to impossible, but all the social media bias lawsuits, they keep failing. And these are lawsuits that are being brought by individuals, not by governments or politicians or anything like that, because they keep arguing that they're biased against them for a certain reason, and those have all failed so far.
Yeah, I just want to, and Tom will go to you. I just want to say I also agree that I worry about that, because that opens up. Yes, there may be a few where Twitter or there may be some that Facebook are leaning to the left, because they always say they're leaning left. Even if they do, I think the overall opportunity for people to sue them for every little thing that's said on there is so huge and such a problem that outweighs the few things that they're doing wrong.
So I'll throw this statistic out to you. This comes from internetlivestats.com. There are approximately 500 million tweets per day on Twitter. So how is it that if you are a fact checker, that you can fact check and weed through 500 million tweets per day and apply this even-handedly without using an algorithm? And, you know, I think the biggest argument for those claiming their tweets have been censored, unduly censored, is why is it that of all that you're focusing on me? And with regard to them, Twitter wanting to call out things that are hoaxes or fake news, I would just point this out. When between the election and the inauguration for the Trump team, President Trump back in late 2016, early 2017, indicated his belief, or he had been informed, that he was being spied on. His transition team was being spied on by the FBI. And everybody said, oh my gosh, conspiracy theorist, this is garbage, this couldn't possibly have happened, look at, this is just fake news, it's garbage. Well, 2 years later, as a result of disclosures and investigations, we find out, with regard to Michael Flynn, that indeed they were tapping phone conversations between Flynn, who was part of the transition team, and others. So there was spying going on there. The FBI had applied for FISA warrants to allow for the tapping of phone calls with regard to other members that were part of the Trump team. Carter Page, it was later determined, was a CIA asset in addition to doing things. And so there was some validity to what he said. But 2 years ago when he said it, it would have been hammered as fake news and a hoax when it turned out to be correct. And I just, you know.
But it wasn't. They never took that down.
No,
his
tweets related
to that issue never was taken down.
My point is, if they do what they say they want to do, they would have taken that down and it turned out to be true. And it's just like, who are you to
where do
be
we
the
start?
Arbiter of
where
what
do we
is
start?
True? Where do we start?
Yeah, where do we start? I think that's the biggest issue. I think all three of us agree is, how do you get through all the information and equally, do that? It's impossible.
I think it's very important to note that social media has such an impact on our voting, that's why regulation is important.
But free speech protects even stupid ideas and even false ideas. It's free speech.
Yeah.
Free speech.
But not dangerous ideas.
Well,
yeah,
no fire in the theater.
There's exceptions. There's exceptions, and they do. I mean, that clearly.
That's why the violence part of this, I think, is easy.
The violence.
Easy.
If there's violence, you have to. Yeah. You have to censor that.
There being a difference between dangerous and violence. It has to be something that suggests an immediate threat to human life.
Take action.
Different than others, but
we've had fun. Go ahead, Cal. The most important part, our third hour is what?
I would say it's time for quick takes, and so let's start with you, Mr. Penny. What is your quick take?
Let's talk about church gatherings in this lawsuit in California. Those who are arguing you have to show up back to church, doggone it. It's been pretty nice doing Zooming church from my living room on my couch with my nice little jammies. I don't know whose side I'm on right now.
Wear your jammies to church. Todd, what is your quick take?
From the time the very first human being on the earth gained the ability to speak and listen, we have had to determine what is truth and what is false. I don't need Twitter to regulate that now.
Okay, you think you make up your own mind. Denise, what's your quick take?
I said, look at Harvey Weinstein. He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Good one, Denise.
Me and Johnny Depp.
We'll be back next week, 9 to noon Pacific time. Join us at RadioLawTalk.com.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com. A copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.